Amen. Do take your seats. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Tim. They'll be back with us just to close out the service. But it's great to welcome you today to a message I've called The Power of Partnerships. And as Travis has said, last week we had the privilege of just welcoming, not all of them, but most of the campus pastors from our Water's Edge family of churches. Some of them couldn't come in because of COVID restrictions around the world, but those who could did, and it was just a powerful time. And as Travis shared, a lot of joy, a lot of celebration as we just got to share what God was doing. At the end of our time together, I was asked to pray, and I got up there, and as I looked around, and just on the basis of what we'd experienced, I wept. Wasn't supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be up, joyful. You know, it's one of those, hey, the transition of service, this part, you're going to be up. Well, I was supposed to be up, except I wasn't. Because I just realized what was happening, what had happened. In that moment, a glimpse of the journey that we've been on since 2015 and 16, it's just not always been easy. It just became more real to me. The very fact that all of you had sacrificed so much, and I was in the room with the recipients of it, and I had the privilege of listening to stories about people in places that we'll never go, people that we will never meet encountering Jesus because you were faithful in stewarding what you had. And so on behalf of all of these campus pastors, I just want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you for your generosity, but also thank you for allowing me to lead us in a path that I believe is the path that is firmly built on the truth of the Scriptures. And that truth is simple, that when we have Jesus Christ in common, we can develop deep, meaningful relationships with people from different places, ministering in different contexts, who have different stories, who are called to do different things, and those relationships can be powerful because Jesus makes us one. And I tell you, when you experience that, it's moving. Yes, it's joyful, but there are times too, like for me on Wednesday, it just broke me. And I realize that we've got some people who may be new to the church, or some people who've been in the church a while, and they may not know why we do what we do in the way we do it. So what I want to do for a few moments is I just want to share a few of the whys we do ministry the way we do it. In 2015, we began this journey to be a what you would call technically a multi-church family, not simply multi-site, but multi-church, where we would harness the blessings of God that God has given to us, and we would try and steward that and bless local pastors leading local churches in strategic places around the world. And since that time, we've gone from just a church in this one location to a church that basically expresses itself and partners with local pastors in 12 locations around the world, and that number is growing. God has done a great work, and it's been a blessing of mine to steward it. At the end of this message, my short time here, I'm going to invite Pastor Sandy up. And Pastor Sandy was one of those first global locations that we ever invested in. And I want to give you an opportunity again just to hear a little bit about what God is doing in that ministry. But today is all about the power of partnership. And if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. And the Lord laid this passage on my heart a few weeks ago when Pastor Travis, Pastor Corey, and I had the privilege of going to the Ukraine. Just celebrate the 30th anniversary of Transformation Church. And as I was sitting there, just again, seeing the fruit of that partnership that was established by Pastor Paul and a number of key leaders, some of them are not with us. Now, I was thinking of Jim Fuller, Shannon Fuller's husband, who was a key part of this, no longer with us. And he was a key part of making this thing work. And I sat there and I thought, wow, the power of partnership. The power of a gospel partnership that just is in there, exists from church to church, and just stays there over 3 decades. And God just birthed this particular text on my heart, and I want to share that text with you this morning. This is what it is, Philippians chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 3. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As I sat in that congregation and I looked at what was happening there, and I thought about how much this congregation had invested to make that partnership work, I realized in that moment that the future for mission in the world is likely in the coming years. We're going to see this more and more. I believe this with all of my heart. To exist in local churches, partnering with local pastors in local churches around the world. What people are waking up to is that we do not need an intermediary between one believer and another one. The mediator between one believer and another believer is Jesus Christ. He is the intermediary between us. And the day is coming when churches will partner increasingly with churches. And what we are going to see is the fruit of what can happen when we invest in local leaders leading local churches in strategic places around the world. When we invest that way, recognizing that Jesus unites us, incredible things happen. See, what we discover through partnerships like this is the partnerships in Jesus help us achieve things together that we would never achieve on our own. Partnerships where Jesus is at the center help us achieve things together that we will never achieve on our own. It was Ken Blanchard who once said, "None of us is as smart as all of us." He's right. None of us is as smart as all of us. And what we have here in Philippians chapter 1 is the basis of a church-to-church partnership. Now, Philippi was a church established by the Apostle Paul. Now, if you know Paul's story, Paul was converted to Christ, and after some degree of skepticism, the apostles welcomed him into their fold, and as they were praying and worshiping Jesus at one point, the Spirit of God spoke, and the Act says, the Spirit said, "Separate for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to." When you look at that work that this Jerusalem church separated, set apart Paul for, it was twofold. Firstly, he was the first church fundraising consultant. That's what he was. He basically had to raise funds from the church that was expanding around the world to make sure that needs were taken care of. The second thing he was called to do is he was called to establish churches in places where there was no church. And so he did that. Philippi was one of those churches. Now, Philippi is interesting because there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. To have a synagogue, you only needed six Jewish males. The fact that there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi tells us that there weren't six Jewish males to establish the synagogue. And so Paul went in there to establish this church where there was no church. And as a result of that ministry, his ministry and the ministry of other believers, that church began to grow. And then as God was leading Paul to recognize that Europe was supposed to be a key point for launching out of or into Europe, Paul recognized the strategic importance of the church in Philippi. The letter to Philippians is interesting. There's not a word of rebuke. It doesn't talk about sin. It talks about the joy of a relationship with Jesus. See, it's all about what happens when you have a relationship with Jesus and how Jesus unites different people with different backgrounds, with different languages, into one faith. And so Paul is using the Philippian church as a launch pad for ministry into Europe. And from this text, from this one-word partnership here, and what Paul writes, we discover three truths that drive the partnerships that we seek to form around the world. The first truth is this: we discover that all of our partnerships are relational. All of our partnerships are relational. The word partnership that we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 is the word koinonia, koinonia. The word is translated a number of different ways in the New Testament, but primarily it's translated as the word fellowship. It has its root in the word to have in common. What this tells us is that every ministry partnership that we have is actually based not upon a common mission to reach people for Jesus. The partnerships that we have are not built upon the common mission that we have to reach Jesus. Now, that's important, but that's not the foundation. the foundation for our partnerships is not something we seek to do, but it is a relationship that we share. Precisely because we have Jesus in common, we have mission in common. Partnership begins with a common relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. We see that from Acts 2:42, familiar passage of Scripture. The church is growing. What do? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The word fellowship there is koinonia. It's exactly the same word that's used in Philippians chapter 1. And then to the breaking of bread and to prayer, just as we have done. What does this tell us? It tells us that our partnerships are not something we do when we get together. No, they are a relationship that we share because we share Jesus together. Fellowship is not something that we're able to do more effectively because we have tables back in the lobby. Amen to tables in the lobby. That's the way fellowship is portrayed, but that's not fellowship. Fellowship is something we do because there's a relationship that we share. That means the foundation for our fellowship is Jesus. The foundations for our partnership are Jesus. So fellowship is the foundation that allows common people to witness uncommon results. We partner with local pastors leading local churches in strategic places around the world for one reason. We all share Jesus in common. That truth, I believe, can be a powerful tool for each and every one of you in your daily lives. You don't simply share fellowship with people from Central Wesleyan Church. You are commissioned to share fellowship with everyone who has Jesus Christ in common with you. In a church city like Holland, do you realize how liberating that could be? Where has God placed you? Who has God placed around you? Do you limit your fellowship simply to people who worship in here? Have you cultivated deep, meaningful relationships in Jesus with people you work with, but you may not worship with? This is the power of a church community like Holland, but it is also the limitation when we limit fellowship to something we do after a church service. No, we have Jesus in common. And because we have Jesus in common, walls fall, boundaries fall, and opportunities open up. We partner with people around the world because we understand that we have Jesus Christ in common. Now, because we have Jesus Christ in common, what happens is that our partnerships now move on to have a divine purpose. Do you know that God has you right where He needs you? And do you know that where He has placed you, there are probably people who, just like you, are wondering, what does God want me to do where He's placed me? You see, your responsibility is bigger than a commitment to a local church. Your responsibility is to extend the rule and reign of God that exists perfectly in heaven, in the part of the world where God has called you and where God has placed you. Our partnership is based on a common relationship with Jesus. But out of that common relationship, there is a setting apart. God sets us apart for a task. Paul describes this perfectly in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. He says that he is a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. This is not something that is reserved for professional clergy alone. This is something that is reserved for all of us. God has set you apart. He has called you to be a partner. For some of us, that does mean, Vibker, my story, that does mean that God called us apart and set us apart and called us out. It does mean for some of us, like the Apostle Paul, that we move away from where God has called us, once called us to be. And with that, at this moment, I want to give a shout out to Jeremy and Molly Latcher. They're not going to like me for this. They are being called out and set apart for the gospel of God. It's their last Sunday, and they will travel to that terrible place of Vero Beach in Florida,
what a terrible place to minister, to go and work with another ministry led by Pastor Brian Bennett, who's a former pastor in our Waters Edge Church. They're called out. They're called to go and to cleave, cling to another ministry. But for some of us, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that where God has called us, where God has placed us, there's a divine purpose for it. All of our partnerships are like that. We just recognize that we have been joined together with other believers, with another pastor leading a local church in a strategic place. And there's a divine connection to that. Those kind of connections need to be protected. We need to protect them. Now, I grew up in the UK, and in the UK, of course, the Christian faith, Britain will call itself a Christian country. We're not afraid to do that. And in the UK, the Church of England came through the ranks. And I remember being in school, hearing a story, basically, about how the Church of England was established. The way the story was told by non-Christian people was basically that Henry VIII wanted to get married again. So he had six wives. First one, divorced. Second one was beheaded. Third one died. Fourth one divorced. Next one, I think, was beheaded, and the other one survived. That's the way I learned about Henry VIII. And so the Catholic Church, of course, Sanctity of Marriage, were like, no way, you're not doing this again, Henry. So before launching the Church of England, apparently the Henry VIII sent the Earl of Wiltshire, or as we would say over here, Wiltshire, okay, over to Rome. And the Earl was supposed to just make sure that everything would work out to give it one last chance of this unity of the church actually working out. Well, the Earl of Wiltshire went, and he basically took his dog with him. And when they arrived in Rome, it was common for the person meeting the Pope to lay prostrate on the floor before the Pope. And the Pope was to extend their foot, okay? And what would happen is you would then kiss his toe. I hate pedicures, okay? I've never done it, never want to, but I wonder how many times that guy washed his feet. Ugh. Anyway, thought disgusted me, but what was going to happen? He would extend his toe. So you got the Earl of Wiltshire and his dog, you know what's coming here, right? Earl of Wiltshire laying prostrate on the floor. The Pope extends his toe, and the story goes the dog misunderstood the kind of friendly kind of greeting for a potential kick, bit the Pope's toe. Instead of a kiss, he got a bite. The Swiss guards who protect the Pope were said to be infuriated and promptly killed the dog. Wiltshire was angry that they killed the dog, left the meeting in a huff, went home to Henry VIII, and the Church of England was born. Now, I'm not sure whether that's the way it worked, but the bottom line is if these partnerships are established with divine purpose, they need to be protected. And how many churches do you know have been established over one petty argument where unity that has nothing to do with the integrity of the gospel is basically compromised over a position on the return of Jesus? Have any of you been down south? Have you seen some of these names on the churches down south? You got no doubt on what they think of the second coming because it's there in the name. You go 2 miles down the road and you see the other view and it's like, okay, we know what happened here. Our partnerships in Jesus with believers where we have Jesus in common must be protected because there's a divine purpose to it. What did Jesus say? They will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Truth's important, but unity in the gospel is more important. Our partnerships matter because there's a divine purpose to them. Thirdly here, when you look at this term, partnership, we discover that this partnership that Paul was establishing with the church in Philippi was also strategic. Philippi was a great place for partnership. It was located, basically, right on the highway that would go from Macedonia from east to west. It would basically connect parts of Asia over there into Europe. It was a strategic location. When you would go to Philippi, you'd basically land in the port of Neapolis. You would journey about 10 miles overland to get to Philippi. And when you got there, you would enter a pretty incredible city. Basically, there were
a variety of national figures that were there. There were Greeks, there were Romans, there were Asiatic people. And what you had in Philippi was this great big hodgepodge of all different kind of philosophies, religions, superstitions. It was basically an ideal debating ground. And because that was the case, Paul could go in there, even though there wasn't a synagogue, and establish the truth of the gospel. And so he would go in and he would develop this ministry and this church. One guy by the name of Vincent writes these words. Philippi was a great way the church could model that it was possible to deal with differences of nation, faith, sex, and social standing. See, Philippi was a strategic place. Paul knew that. And so he invested in that church because from there, it was his ambition to launch into Europe. Our partnerships are in strategic places. In a few moments, I'm going to invite Pastor Sandy on the stage. And Pastor Sandy pastors a church in the largest Islamic populated country in the world, Indonesia. I first met Pastor Sandy in 2009. I'd been invited to teach in a seminary in Indonesia. And I thought, yeah, that would be really good, until I actually tried to get there, and it took like 35 hours to get there. You go 14 hours and you're only halfway there. Crazy. I remember getting off the plane at like 7:45, taken into a seminary, and I was supposed to teach from 9 until 5. I was like, how am I going to do this? And I just remember sitting there. I've never forgotten this, Sandy. Sandy was sitting right in front of me right here as I was teaching this this course. And there was something about him. Now, I'd already been told about Sandy through Pastor Kelly Green. He was on our staff. You may remember Kelly. Kelly had met Sandy, and Sandy had told Kelly that he was looking to plant a church. He'd got 17 people that he was training up, and he wanted to go and plant this church in West Java, just outside Jakarta. It's the city of Bogor. It's about 3 or 4 million people, I think, live in that city. And he wanted to go and reach those people. The people there are the Sundanese people, some of the most difficult people that you can possibly reach with the gospel. Islamic fundamentalist part of the world. And so what we did is for just a couple of years, we just monitored Sandy's faithfulness. And Sandy was faithful, day in, day out, in hard times. I think Sandy, 7 times in the first couple of years, his ministry was raided by the police. I remember when I did go and visit those places, I would be taken into a building that they were in through one door. I would be taken out through another one because it's so dangerous. 2 times, I think, after I was there, the church was raided. Every time the church started to grow, they would be clamped down on. And through all of this, over and over again, Sandy's just been faithful with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sandy and I have a relationship that stems back a number of years after he was married. Now he's got 2 children, and Sandy, it's been a real privilege for me just to see your faithfulness in good seasons, but also in very difficult seasons. And so I want to welcome Sandy and Jason, his translator, to the stage. Can you just give him a central welcome? So Jason is a student of Liberty, I believe, Jason. And when we were going to do this, Sandy's English is actually really good. You'll notice that when I speak here in a second, he won't need to be translated. He understands it really well. But he still doesn't believe me that if this congregation can understand Welsh English, they'll be able to do Indonesian English pretty fine. But he just prefers to basically go through a translator there. Allows his heart to come out. Now, Sandy, one of the things I've shared that's been amazing with you is just your faithfulness to in this ministry, day in and day out. This guy is small in stature, but I want to tell you he's a spiritual giant. If you see him with a Bible in his hands, with a group of people, this guy comes alive. It's his call. It's what God has called him to do. And Sandy, it's just been amazing for us here to partner with you. One of the things that is amazing here is that through his ministry, Sandy has seen over 500 Muslims come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just an amazing thing to see.
Sandy himself came to faith in Christ out of an Islamic background, and if you've ever heard his story, it is pretty incredible what happened. His wife, Weewin, came to Christ as well out of an Islamic family that basically shunned her initially, and one of the prayers that we've had over the years is that Weewin's family would actually become more open to Weewin and to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to see over time. They're not exactly there, all the way there yet, but they are. The relationship there is getting restored as their faithfulness is just being proven over and over again. Now, Sandy, when you were last here, we had another translator on the stage, Herman. And you'd never met Herman before. And it's been amazing to see something that has happened over the 2 years as a result of you coming here and meeting Herman. Just share with us what happened there.
Yeah, 2 tahun yang lalu ketika ada pertemuan Water Edge di tempat ini, saya bertemu dengan Herman dan saya percaya itu bukan satu kebetulan, itu Tuhan yang atur.
So 2 years ago when I came here for the Water Edge conference, the organization introduced us to Mr. Herman, the translator, and I believe that it's part of God's plan that we were introduced to each other.
Yeah, sepulang dari acara di tempat ini, saya kembali ke Indonesia, dan kami tetap saling berhubungan dengan Pak Herman.
After I went back home to Indonesia, we still stayed in touch and try to communicate with each other.
Dan suatu hari, Pak Herman menceritakan tentang temannya, seorang pendeta di Batam yang sangat setia di dalam pelayanan namun sedang mengalami pergumulan.
One day Mr. Herman told about his friend who was a pastor in Batam that was facing a lot of trouble financially and was having trouble with building up his church.
Now, Padam is, just for you to know, Indonesia's got how many, 7,000 islands or something crazy? Padam is an island that is about 15-minute boat ride away from Singapore. So if you know that part of the world, go to Singapore, and that's roughly the area that we're talking about here. So, carry on.
Yeah, akhirnya, atas izin Tuhan, saya bisa ke Batam, saya mengunjungi Pendeta David Janis, dan kami sama-sama berdoa untuk kerjasama.
With God's permission, I got to visit Pastor David in Batam, and we prayed and we talked about our future partnership.
Yeah, semenjak itu kami bekerja sama. Kami Gereja Pangrango mendukung pelayanan gereja di Batam. 1 tahun yang lalu, rumahnya Pastor David mengalami kerusakan dan kami membantu mereka dan setiap bulan kami juga mengirimkan dana untuk mereka.
After we prayed, we continued our partnership. But 1 year ago, Pastor David's house was broken down, and we decided to commit every month to help him financially.
Yeah, one of the, Sandy says it like this, you know, we decided to help him. 14% of the income of Sandy's church every month is basically being given away to help Pastor David in his ministry. And you know, when we get involved in ministries, we say, look, we don't have any expectation on you except this. The generosity that we practice to you, please model to others. And it's just been amazing for me, just even with this story, to hear that we bring in Pastor Sandy 2 years ago just for encouragement, for inspiration, to kind of minister to him, to build into him, to just thank him for his years of service in a really difficult place. And even as we did that, God was orchestrating a ministry partnership that's resulted in a pastor in a place we will never go, many of us will probably never meet, being supported and encouraged when now many more people are coming to faith in Christ. This is the way it works. When we have relationships with others where Jesus, the common relationship of Jesus, is central to what we do, invariably a divine purpose opens up where something strategic is developed. And Sandy, it's just been amazing for us to see that 2 years ago we could never have imagined that the translator we would have brought on this stage would have led you into just launching out in a partnership like that. It's totally amazing. And I know in August, there's a team of about 10 of you that are going over to Padam to just do ministry there. And it's just amazing, again, the gospel partnership that actually started right here in Holland. Isn't it amazing to think that two Indonesians would actually be brought to Holland for a ministry to happen in an island we've never heard of? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, Sandy, one of the challenging things, we wanted a conference last year, we couldn't do it because of COVID. COVID has hit everybody hard, and now we think we have it hard, but in your congregation, a lot of the industries then close, and there isn't a lot of government support, and it's really difficult for the people that you pastor. I know that you've done feeding projects and a whole load of ministry there, but tell us, how has COVID impacted your church? What have you seen God do?
Ya, seperti gereja lain, awalnya kami tidak siap dengan COVID ini.
Same way like other churches everywhere. At first we were not prepared for the pandemic.
Banyak jemaat mengalami kesulitan, ada yang kehilangan pekerjaan dan lain sebagainya.
A lot of people in our congregation lost their job due to the pandemic.
Tapi Tuhan Yesus setia memberkati kami. Saya melihat jemaat di masa sulit tetap semangat untuk memberitakan Injil, untuk menjangkau jiwa-jiwa.
But God's faithfulness always stayed with us and helped us throughout this pandemic and help our congregation to grow even more.
Dan hampir setiap minggu di masa pandemi ini Tuhan tambahkan jiwa-jiwa baru dan dengan pandemi ini kami ada tambahan jiwa-jiwa baru jemaat 50 orang.
With God's blessings during this pandemic, He continued to help us grow our congregation. And during this pandemic, we gained 50 more families to our congregation.
Ya, ada seorang ibu. Dia seorang ibu. Dia datang ke gereja. Ada dua bulan yang lalu ada 6 orang Muslim datang ke gereja. Kami layani.
So 2 months ago, there's this one lady that came to our church who was a Muslim, and 6 other people who were also Muslim came to our church.
Ya, ibu ini datang menggunakan hijab dan semua jemaat bingung gitu melihatnya.
So when she came in, she was wearing a hijab, and everybody was in awe at first.
Dan rupanya anaknya sakit, dan akhirnya kami mendoakan dan puji Tuhan anaknya disembuhkan.
Turns out her son was sick during the time, and we prayed for her, and her son is healthy now.
Puji Tuhan. Dan kami mengucap syukur kalau mereka semua sekarang setia beribadah di gereja.
We're thankful that her family is faithful, continue to attend our church regularly.
So I hope you picked that up, right? Through this, the congregation has grown, but I know that specifically 5-6 Muslim families have recently found faith in Christ. One of them was a woman who originally came in with a hijab around there, which is not something his congregation, wearing a hijab, which is not something his congregation do. And she was there because her son was sick. Who can help him? Well, maybe Jesus can. And then they prayed, their son is sick, and she's put her faith in Christ. But now she faces that difficult challenge of, when do I go public with my faith? Because going public with your faith often means being ostracized. This is the context that Pastor Sandy is ministering in. And Sandy, we just bless God for what you're doing. And you know, you're in a facility right now where I remember going in there the first time, and you were so happy that it was there. I think you've blown the wall out 3 or 4 times, that there's no more walls to blow out. And so part of our prayer has been, okay, we really need God to provide a facility there. But the problem is, you see, not many Christian churches are actually able to rent a facility from Muslims. They don't want to do that. It's just very, very difficult to do. But bless God, we believe that we have found one such facility. We have been praying for Indonesia to go from a level 4 in COVID to a level 3, which would allow Pastor Corey to go over there and just have a look. And again, through your generosity, and because the rental prices there are so low, this is something that as a church family we are going to be able to do in order to help Sandy and Pandrango Church get into a place that is really going to allow them to kick on and multiply their ministry. So this is a key prayer request that we have, is that the COVID level would allow that, the COVID rates over there would allow that level to stay at level 3. Now, that's a prayer, Sandy, because Sandy was telling me that the COVID rates are going way back up, and it's likely that the country could be closed back down. That just hampers it. But Sandy, when you think about the potential of this moving forward, what are your hopes and dreams for the next part of your ministry?
Yeah, kami berharap seperti yang saya bilang tadi bahwa Tuhan terus tambahkan jiwa-jiwa dan gereja ini mulai bertumbuh dan tempatnya sudah tidak cukup.
Like I said before, that we hope with this new facility we can continue to grow our congregation.
Dan kami berharap kami ada tempat yang lebih besar dan kami boleh menjangkau jiwa-jiwa orang-orang Muslim, orang Sunda lebih lagi untuk Tuhan.
We hope that with this new facility we can reach more Sundanese people, Muslim people, so we can glorify God through them.
Ya, sekali lagi bersyukur dan kami jemaat sangat bersemangat di masa COVID ini untuk menjangkau jiwa-jiwa bagi Tuhan.
We're thankful that and we're like fired up to reach more people in the future.
Amen. And for those of you interested, every plan we put in place for something like this has a plan towards sustainability and everything else, and we've been following that plan, and bless God, that has really been incredible, as witnessed by the fact that Sandy's church is giving 14% of their monthly income to support somebody else. I hope you realize how incredible that is. It's very difficult sometimes when God blesses you with a little to realize that your little can do any good at all. What Sandy's story and the story of this church demonstrates is yes, it can. Again, when we partner together, we're able to do more together than we could ever do on our own. One of the things I've really appreciated about Sandy, and I hope you don't mind sharing this, is that I talk a lot, but I look a lot too. And one of the times we were there, I taught in the seminary one time, and I noticed that Sandy wasn't wearing his wedding ring. And he would often wear his ring, and like me, he would often play with it. And I just noticed one time that he wasn't wearing his ring. And I just felt prompted by God to say, Sandy, where's your ring? And in that moment, Sandy told me that him and his wife we were in needed money for the ministry, and so they pawned their rings in order to give everything they could to the ministry. And in that moment, I was like, okay, Sandy, the picture of redemption is that through Jesus Christ, Jesus redeemed us and paid a price that we could not pay. And so, Sandy, just as a thank you to what you do, I want you to go and buy your rings back and just realize that we love you and you sacrifice, but there's a price that God doesn't want you to pay. And in that moment, again, we're able to do that because of all of you. And I share that story just for you to realize how much this man, his wife, and his family invest to just bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. And so what I'd like to do, Sandy, I'd like to, just before we sing a song, where we're just going to pray for God to bring revival across the world. I'd like to pray for you, but then I would also like you to pray for us. Jason, you won't need to interpret that. I just want this man in his own language to be able to speak. And in case any of you don't think we're speaking tongues, you're going to hear it in a second, and you've been hearing interpretation as we've gone through. But you may not understand this, but I do really believe as he prays, you just get a sense of this man's heart and how much passion he has for Jesus. So Sandy, I want you to know that you often thank me for what we, this faith family, do for you, but I want to thank you for what you do to us. You enable us to see. You enable us to see what commitment and sacrifice is like. You have been faithful with what God has given you, and I really do believe that the years ahead for you and for Pandrango are just going to be so fruitful, and I just want to thank you so much for your service. So would you stand with me? I want to pray for him. Sandy's going to pray for us, and then the team is just going to lead us out in a prayer, in a song that just asks for God to revive us. Father, I just want to thank you for this man. I thank you that from the time I've known him, he's been faithful with what you've given him. I thank you that even though our stories are different, our upbringings are different, our cultures are different, our languages are different, our Jesus is the same. And I want to thank you that, Jesus, you destroyed the wall that would separate Sandy from me. You've destroyed the wall that separates one person from another. And we just thank you for the message of grace, the good news of the gospel that makes us one. God, I'm thankful too as I look back even on the last 2 years from when he was last here about what you've done to build and to protect. And I just recognize, Father, as Sandy goes back, he goes back into a phase that we believe is going to be exciting. But God, an anointing of yesteryear is not enough for the task of tomorrow. And so we just ask, Lord Jesus, that this man would be anointed for the task that lies ahead. We pray for a fresh anointing on him, that he would be able to see you do those things that he cannot do. So God, encourage him where he needs encouragement. Strengthen him where he needs strength. Give him wisdom where he needs wisdom. And may all of this be possible because you have anointed him, set him apart for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that we are family, we are one, and we pray that you would just anoint this brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Sandy, pray for us.
Bapa, sungguh bersyukur ya Tuhan, hamba percaya Tuhan, semua karena Tuhan, hamba boleh ada di tempat ini ya Tuhan. Terima kasih ya Tuhan Yesus, Engkau sudah mempertemukan hamba dengan hambamu Pastor Craig. Terima kasih untuk gereja sentral ya Tuhan, yang sudah Tuhan pakai untuk menjadi berkat, untuk pekerjaan Tuhan lebih dahsyat lagi ya Tuhan. Terima kasih ya Bapa. Berkati ya Tuhan gereja sentral ya Tuhan. Berikan kebangunan rohani ya Tuhan. Tambahkan berkat yang berkelimpahan, berlipat-lipat ya Tuhan atas gereja ini ya Tuhan. Biarlah gereja ini terus mengalami banyak kebaikan Tuhan. Dan biarlah melalui gereja sentral ini ya Tuhan, Injil diberitakan di seluruh dunia ya Tuhan. Dan nama Tuhan ditinggikan, dianggukan, dan banyak jiwa-jiwa diselamatkan ya Tuhan. Hamba bersyukur untuk kemurahan hati atas jemaat ini ya Bapa. Terima kasih ya Tuhan Yesus, terima kasih ya Bapa. Berkati gereja sentral ya Tuhan, di dalam nama Tuhan Yesus Kristus, Tuhan yang kami andalkan, Tuhan yang kami sembah, kami berdoa, kami mengucap syukur ya Tuhan. Haleluya, haleluya. Amen.
Amen. Can we just show another central appreciation for this guy? Jason, thank you.